Is the gospel that Paul preached the same gospel that Christ preached? Where did the teaching that Paul had a newer and different revelation than Jesus originate? Was Paul a false prophet? What did he mean by the phrase, under the law? Can you be saved and not inherit the kingdom of God? I want to know.
We want to welcome each and every one of you to this week's episode of The Doctrine of Christ with myself and Brother Jimmy Cooper. And as always, we are happy to do so because whether you know it or not, the doctrine of Christ is the most important thing in your life. And this will be the final episode of season four, the 20th episode. We're 80 episodes in, Jimmy. Could you,
believe that?
It's just like it's gone by so fast.
80 episodes.
And I can't wait to do the next 80.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. It's almost hard to realize that we've done 80 DLCs. And
What an honor to be a part of it.
It is to lift up Jesus to where he should be lifted up, the most important thing in everyone's life. And it's such an honor to remind everyone of that. And every broadcast that we do, more people are realizing just what the doctrine of Christ is and that it is the foundation of all things that we are to believe.
And, you know, David, I see a lot of comments. I don't ever really get a chance to respond to many. There's so many. But I do glance through some every once in a while. And there's so many people talk about how they're sharing it with people and it's helping so many of their friends and their family. I got an email the other day from a brother from, I think it's Romania.
Yeah.
And he listens to the DOC on podcast, you know, and maybe people don't realize that, but you can listen to the DOC series on any of your favorite podcast networks. And so they were listening to it through the Apple Store, the Apple Apple Podcast, and says it's doing great in Denmark. I mean, not Denmark, Romania.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. That's exciting.
It is. And just this week, we had response from Dubai, Uganda. It's just amazing we're just humbled.
Yeah.
It is humbling and very touching and if we just lift him up, if we just lift up Jesus and do everything we can to get ourselves out of the way, people are going to be blessed because it's all about him. It's all about him.
Amen. Absolutely.
And in this episode, I don't know what title you'll put on it. You always come up with good ideas for titles, but I entitled this, Is Paul on the Rock? And we're going to be looking at the rock of revelation that Jesus said is the foundation of all things. And then we're going to be examining Paul. We tell people all the time to examine all things for the doctrine of Christ. So we're going to be examining Paul. And of course, Paul doesn't even need to be examined. He's in the Word of God. He wrote Holy Scripture.
Yep.
But because of the attacks that are levied against him, we're going to do that. So let's begin.
Or brother, the attacks that gets because of his writings being misunderstood, those attacks that get put back on the law.
Yeah, exactly right.
So I hope that's something you're going to talk about too.
Oh, a lot. And if you attack the law, you're really attacking the Father that gave it. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
All right, let's hear what you got.
Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was revealed by the Father unto Simon Peter that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the rock of revelation from the Holy Spirit. That is the foundation of all that we believe in Christ and receive from the Holy Scriptures.
So now, Peter's not the rock. The revelation of Christ is the rock of the church.
That's exactly right. It's the revelation given unto Peter, what is revealed from heaven. It's the rock of revelation. No, Peter's not the rock.
Okay.
Our good Catholic friends have that a bit askew.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
That's the foundation, of course, of Romanism, but many people are figuring that out also. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Let's look at the claim the Apostle Paul had. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul here is making the claim that just like Jesus said of Peter, that it was revealed unto him, the true identity of Christ. Paul makes the same claim. Didn't come from a man. It come by revelation.
So Paul's about to tell these Galatians, everything I'm about to tell you came straight from Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. Now, that's a pretty hefty claim.
Yeah.
And we're going to examine that.
Okay.
And we're going to seriously put this under the examination of the Word of God. And this is what we tell people all the time. And we look at everything. We'll study things in ancient history, you name it, we'll tackle it. And the Bible says, 1 John 2:27, that the Holy Spirit will teach us of all things. We can understand all things if we go at it through the doctrine of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And this is the bottom line. And we've read the scripture many times, and we can't read it enough. If you say you love Jesus and you don't keep his words, well, you're just telling a porky, because when we really love Jesus, we really will keep his words. And this is the determining factor of whether you have God at all in a saving relationship. And at a time when it's so hard to hear the doctrine of Christ from anyone outside of our immediate circle. Now, if you go back in time, you can, but right now, I don't hear it much. I wish I did. But in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. So that's what we're going to do with Brother Paul, and we're going to examine him. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, we have to begin with a big warning here. And this is a very serious verse. And the Apostle Peter wrote, As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. So when we look into things this evening, there's not everything is just easy, but everything will be made plain. And that's what we want to do with the help of the Holy Spirit. We want people to come away from this study saying, oh, I see it now. There it is. And we're going to show where the path is made straight, and we're going to show where people twist things and send people in the wrong direction. Right. And he goes on to say, which they that are unlearned, and unstable. Now, there's two groups of people here. Some are just unlearned, and some are just, they're just willfully ignorant because they won't study, and others are unstable. There's some very intelligent people that are unstable, and they're double-minded because they are not anchored in the doctrine of Christ. And then he goes on to say, rest, and that means twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So we have to say careful, careful here. There, the Bible says that there are people that are going to take what Paul wrote and they're going to twist it in such a way that they are going to destroy themselves. And that's a very, very serious thing. Now, let's begin with asking ourselves this question. This would be the first real test. We read the scripture in John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my words. And let's just see if Paul is on board with that. And let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's read verses 3 and 4. And Paul said here, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to consent to something, you agree to it.
Yes.
And Paul said, if anyone teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. So the Apostle Paul, as plain as words can say, that if you don't agree with what Jesus said and his words, you don't know anything. Just like the Apostle John said, if you do not have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. Yeah. Paul said, if you don't agree with what Jesus said, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Now, if the Word of God is this clear, and anyone that is capable of critical thinking and word reading words can see here that Paul is absolutely insisting on total 100% agreement with what Jesus said. So if this is so clearly stated, where does this idea come that Paul is teaching something different than Christ? And we hear this all the time, that Jesus was a good old guy, but Paul, now he's the man, Paul had the fuller revelation.
Well, what is the scripture where Paul said that he actually, a mystery was revealed to him that had never been taught or in times past or something like that?
That, I believe, what you're referring is Paul's epistle to the Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. And when let's just read verse 25. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So you see, it's not just to Paul exclusively, but this mystery that before the cross was hidden is now made manifest to all his saints, to Paul, me, and you also.
I have literally watched people say that that verse right there proves that Paul even got a further Jesus gave him the revelation, but Jesus didn't teach it yet when he was on the earth, and this was a new revelation to Paul, so it was taking it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, and that is twisting it to a whole nother level. And I'm afraid that level is their own destruction. That's dishonesty.
Yeah.
You know, that is just twisting the word of God to make it say what you want it to say, when clearly it says, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known, you see, to whom God would make known to all of his saints, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, saying, you know, this is just a huge porky. what these people do, and it's twisting the scripture. It's wrong, and it's absolutely satanic. And I am unapologetically telling people that have these lies in their head, you need deliverance. Yeah. You know, if you got this stuff in you, you need something cast out of you, because this ain't of God. This is just dishonesty. And anybody that is capable of critical thinking should be able to figure this out.
I'm capable at least for an hour a day, maybe two sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can even figure that out. You know, I mean, this is just shame on them.
Yeah.
Shame on them. Mm. Now, in the Scofield Reference Bible on page 1230, this is where this lie came from. And of course, there have always been a people attack Paul, but now the attacks on Paul have gone mainstream. And it says here on page 1230 in the Scofield Reference Bible, it is evident that the really dangerous sect in Corinth was that which said, "And I of Christ," 1 Corinthians 1:12. They rejected the new revelation through Paul of the doctrines of grace, grounding themselves probably on the kingdom teachings of our Lord as a minister of the circumcision. Ooh. So this is dangerous. According to Mr. Scofield, this is dangerous. You grounded yourself on the teachings of Jesus, rejecting the new revelation of Paul. And you see, this is the big lie, that Paul and Jesus are teaching two different things. This is a lie out of the pit of hell. Mm. And we're going to be showing folks from multiple sources that and for those that don't know, the dispensational school of theology, it really began about 1830 or so, late 1820s, with the revelation of the pre-trib rapture. And that was kind of the kernel that was surrounded with other doctrines, and it began to grow and blossom. In the early 1900s, the Scofield Reference Bible put dispensational theology on the map, so to speak. It infiltrated the Baptist church first, then the Pentecostal, and it spread now to where and a lot of times people don't even know what they're doing. But across the board, this has just spread like leaven everywhere.
A little and leaven. You know what that'll happen. What'll happen with
is.
That?
And I tell you, this old lumpy apostate American church, it has been spoiled. Yeah. So we're going to go back, as we do, and we're going to look at the Puritans. We're going to look at other writers. Before the rise of dispensationalism, this demonic garbage was not taught. This came in with dispensationalism. That's exactly where it came in. And we're going to pinpoint that. We're going to show some of their sleazy tricks. And for any of these old writers to even enter their mind that Paul and Christ were opposed to one another, or that, my goodness, Paul was even more important than Christ, this is rank satanic blasphemy. And if that offends anybody, I'm just being too kind there to it. I don't have adjectives in my vocabulary to express how vile and dangerous, just like the Apostle Peter said, they are resting it to their own destruction. You're going to destroy your soul because you're lying about the Word of God. You're lying. You're twisting. Now, let's get into some more scriptures here. And there's another way this goes. There's people in the Hebrew Root movement that they say, well, Paul's just a false prophet, and we just need to throw him out there. So there's all kinds of attacks on Paul from all kinds of different directions. But let's pick up a phrase here, and let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 5, and let's begin in about verse 17, a familiar text. I think we did an entire DLC on this.
Yep.
But let's read Matthew 5, beginning in verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, we're going to look at text where Paul talks about fulfilling the law. And we're going to examine, did he mean the same thing as Christ or something else? Jesus goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus certainly wasn't a dispensationalist. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, as these dispensationalist teachers does, well, grace is here, law's gone. He said, well, grace is here and law is going to be fulfilled and understood and obeyed better than ever because grace is here. Now, let's go to the book of Galatians and let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. And we'll look at this text and we're going to examine that which Paul says here in quite a bit of detail. And we're going to see if he meant the same thing. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what is said today, and of course, what I would say, and what I think common sense would say, that if you really love your neighbor, and you really love God, you're going to do the requirements of the law. And it's not like, well, I have love, therefore I won't want to obey God's law. You know, and there are those that say, well, we have the law written in our heart. And because I have the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy written on my heart, that means I don't have to obey the Sabbath. I don't want to obey the Sabbath. Yeah, it's written on my heart right there. Remember the Sabbath day. But that means I don't have to remember it. It's total nonsense. And for people to try to use Paul against Christ is damnable. It's damnable. Peter said, you're going to twist it to your own destruction. And love fulfilling the law for Paul, we're going to see, meant the very same thing as for Christ. Well, we love the Lord. Therefore, that love is going to drive us to obey. Now, let's look at a text in Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look back at the doctrine of Christ, where he speaks specifically on the relationship between love and the fulfillment of the law. In Matthew chapter 22, and let's look at begin about verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, let's go back in time just a little bit, and let's go back to one of our favorite DOC people, Matthew Poole. Now let's look at what Matthew Poole said about love fulfilling the law. And I tell you, this guy just makes me happy. This is Matthew Poole's comment. He says, the whole book of God is our rule. Now I just got to stop and say amen. Why can't we say that anymore, Jimmy?
God's been canceled.
I think he has. Left of Matthew is gone. Listen, these guys bless my heart. The whole book of God is our rule, and we are obliged to every precept in it. We don't hear that anymore unless you're listening to the DLC.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, somebody will say, well, and I've heard them say it, all right, if you're going to keep the Sabbath, then you better keep it exactly how it says it. And if somebody doesn't keep it, you better stone them because that's what it says. So.
And we're going to talk about that passage from Galatians.
Okay, good.
It's time to sort a little aside on it. But I mean.
Oh, yeah, you're obliged to do it all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it's a sin to obey God, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're twisting to their own destruction. That's what they're doing. The whole book of God is our rule, and we are obliged to every precept in it. Amen, Brother Poole. Moses summed up all in the Ten Commandments, to which, truly interpreted, all the precepts of Scripture are reducible. There is nothing forbidden in Scripture but what offends the royal love of law, either to God or man. There is nothing commanded but what will fall under it. Amen, Brother Poole. Amen. Now, I want to read one more. Let's look at Albert Barnes on Matthew 22:40. Albert Barnes wrote in the 1700s, and he said this on Matthew 22:40. He said, that is, these comprehend the substance of what Moses in the law and what the prophets have spoken. In other words, if you had never read anything, if you're just don't know nothing, you've received Christ and you're born again, if you love God and your neighbor, you're going to automatically keep what's in the Torah. But that doesn't mean that, well, boy, we're just to throw the Torah out, that we never study it, we never look at it, because just like Jesus said, whoever teaches men to break even the least is the least. Jesus talked about the scribes in the kingdom of heaven bringing out treasures out of the new and the old. It is so controversial now to just say with Brother Poole, the whole Bible is our guide. That I just love saying that. The whole Bible is our guide. That shouldn't even need to be said, but it needs to be. My goodness. He goes on to say, love to God and man comprehends the whole of religion, and to produce this has been the design of Moses, the prophets, the Savior, and the apostles. Now, this is so good. Let's just think about this a minute. Love to God and man comprehends the whole of religion, and to produce this has been the design of Moses, the prophets, the Savior, and the apostles. All the way back to Moses, this has been the plan from square one, to get people to fulfill the law through loving God. That is so good. Let's look at some scriptures. And you see, here's what people are, it's so hard for them to understand in the mass of religious confusion. But let's look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 5. We'll see what a great statement that was from Brother Barnes, because, yeah, that's what Moses was trying to do, just to get him to love God and obey the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, we'll look at the scriptures Christ was quoting. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Jesus was just teaching Deuteronomy. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he quoted Deuteronomy to the devil. He must still think it's good.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to go on record right now saying, I promise, in this break that we're taking after this episode, I'm getting that song done that we hear a snippet of at the end of the episode. I've almost got it done. I've just been tweaking it a little bit, and it's too important of a song to me. So I just, because it's this whole scripture you're talking about. It's with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, and loving my neighbor as I love myself. So I'm going to get it done. I'm giving everybody my word. I get all kinds of comments
about
it.
You're on the spot now, Jimmy.
I'm on the spot. I'm doing that on purpose, so I'll get it done.
There you go. Well, we're so looking forward to that. And music, when it has proper lyrics, it is such a powerful instrument that the Holy Spirit can put truth in people's hearts.
I only write songs with scripture now. I don't try to put my own thoughts in there anymore.
Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Jesus was teaching Torah. And just like Brother Barnes said, yeah, that's what Moses, the prophets, the Savior, the apostles, just trying to get everybody to love God. You see, if we're born again, we're going to love him. And that love we have for him will want us to fulfill the law and obey him. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not doing brain surgery here. Thank goodness. Now, let's look at another text. And oh, boy, this is one they have. They try to make a lot of mileage of, and by they, I mean the modern dispensationalists that will try to wrest the teaching of Apostle Paul that he was just some kind of antinomian heretic. It is terrible. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, this is a passage we're going to be looking at. This deals with the works of the flesh, where Paul talks about the works of the flesh, and down in the end of verse 21, he says, "And they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18, there's a phrase here we really want to look at. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Now, we want to let Scripture define Scripture. Now, we began with the warning, people want to twist it to their own destruction. Yeah. And when you let Scripture interpret Scripture, you'll do well. So what did Paul mean when he said under the law? Well, we don't have to look too far away. Let's look in the...
Is it just the curse of the law?
Well, we'll look just exactly what it is here, Jimmy. Let's look at Galatians 3:23, and it's defined right here. "But before faith came." Now, there is the qualifying statement. Before faith in Christ came, we were kept under the law. So, under the law basically means that which existed before Christ. Before Jesus came and died on the cross, there was the law of Moses. And the law of Moses was a good thing that would point people toward Christ. So basically, the phrase under the law meant the law without Christ and that Levitical system that he came to do away with. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem was that after Christ came, people wanted to say, "I'm a Christian, but I want to keep that Levitical system and be under the law and under Christ at the same time," you see. While Christ wanted people to love him and the Father and obey that which the law taught. And these other people said, "Well, no, we want to be under that Levitical system, and we can work it out," excuse the pun, "on our own. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." Now, under the law means how people lived before Christ came under that Levitical system. Now, the problem that comes up is that even after Christ came, and this problem is so real today, that people want to live under the law and under Christ at the same time, and you cannot do that. To be led by the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is taking you back to what Christ said, and you let love fulfill the law. Through love, you obey the law. So it's just so sad that some people just can't get this. But "The he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, he uses the phrase again. He says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law?" You see, and these people that were wanting to be under the law, they couldn't really hear what the law was saying as it was interpreted through Christ. Now, when Galatians was written, the temple was still there. And we see this in Galatians and Hebrews. There were Jews that were wanting to go back to the temple and do the sacrifices too. You know, and this is the whole thing in so many passages in the book of Hebrews. It was a huge problem, and it was called apostasy in the epistle to the Hebrews. Mm-hmm. But to be under the law meant to be just like before Christ came. Well, Jesus here, I love him, but I want to be under that Levitical system. I'm going to go down to the temple and sacrifice an animal, you know.
That way I can be sure that I did what I was supposed to do and my sins are forgiven because I did something.
There you go.
Yeah.
So far from saying being under the law, far from saying we don't obey God's moral law, but it means we are not under that Levitical system as it was before Christ came. We are not under the law. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 5 here. And we read verse 18, and this whole passage is premised here, beginning in verse 18, 5:18, for if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, you see. So the Holy Spirit will take us back to what Christ said, and he'll take us back to Matthew 5, 17 through 19. Oh, okay, we're not to throw the law out. We're to teach everything in there. And everything we can apply, we can apply. Okay, we're not under the Levitical system of sacrificing animals, but oh yeah, what God said is really true, and love will help us to sort this out. You see, it's not that hard. But in this passage here, Galatians 5 and 18, for if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then it begins in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I think just about anybody that has the Holy Spirit within them, and or even anybody that's capable of critical thinking, can see here that Paul was clearly saying that if you do these things, you're not going to be saved and go to heaven.
Every one of these are covered in the Torah, in the law.
Every one of them.
Every one of those. There's not a new one there that's not covered in the law.
And just like with Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18, Jesus tempted in the wilderness, quoting Deuteronomy to the devil, over and over and over, Jesus validates the law and the prophets. You know, he says, my goodness, I didn't come to do away with the law and the prophets. He loved them, and we should too. Now, we're going to look at this simple statement, and I want to, and I don't say it in a haughty way. I understand that most people don't have the advantage of having a library like I do, even though these things can be read online. If you even have access online, you can read.
But you know what, Dave? You're different than most people. Let's be honest.
Well, I've heard that before. I want to think I'm peculiar in a good way.
You are. And in a good way.
And this is what the Lord has called us to do, to help people sort these things out, because we are being lied to in so many areas. And I believe the Lord has called us, well, I know he has, to bring people back to the doctrine of Christ. And so many people, when they've grown up in the American church, they've grown up, and even more true with younger people, and that's about everybody anymore younger than me, but they think that the way things are, and they think, well, Americans, they're the best at everything. They've got the best Christian TV. Look at that, millions of dollars given to Christian TV. We've got Benny Hindu. We've got Kenny Copeland. We got them all, man. And you can even get rich. Give them your money to them. Got them. Well, don't even get me going. Yeah. But anyway, people think that this is the way it's always been. And nothing could be further than the truth. And we're going to show in this passage in Galatians a stark, dramatic change of scripture twisting. Now, this is Matthew Henry on the passage in Galatians 5. I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that those who do such things, how much soever they may flatter themselves with vain hopes, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are sins which will undoubtedly shut man out of heaven. Now, that's about as plain enough to where I can even understand that.
Yeah.
Let's look at Albert Barnes on the same text in Galatians 5. And this text says here, I can understand this too. He says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, cannot possibly be saved. Impossible, you know? And that's what Paul says straight out. Now, let's just see what the old scripture twisters do with this. You know, this is like, you know, they get together and they play that game. They call it Twister. This is Mr. Scripture Twister. I just have a silly thought there that probably is best not said. But couldn't you just see Benny Hinn and Copeland playing Twister and just out there, you know, twisting around?
Some of them, I actually sneaky, could see that.
I think they could probably be real good at that. But let's look at another very straightforward scripture. I'm going to show you something very snaky and very twisty they do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And the text says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And today people don't know that. You know, people don't know that. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They're preaching all the time that, yeah, the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom
of God. But we're righteous because we've prayed the sinner's prayer.
Yeah.
So we're right. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're righteous now.
Yeah, I raised my hand in an altar call in 1980, and I'm good. Be not deceived. Now look at this. Don't you know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. There were people in the Corinthian church that in the past were, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, I'm going to read Albert Barnes' comment on that. And, then I'm going to look at some of the modern interpretations of that. Albert Barnes, he said, it shows that we are not to despair of reclaiming the most abandoned and wretched men. And we've all been wretched. I know I was. I was wretched and vile. And he says also, it is well for Christians to look back on what they once were, but ye are washed. Washing is an emblem of purifying. They had been made pure by the Spirit of God. Now, let's watch what the scripture twisters do that want to play Mr. Twister. This is a book entitled The Reign of the Servant Kings by a fellow by the name of Jody Dillo. Now, let's look what Mr. Dillo says on 1 Corinthians 16. And I mean, it's so crazy you got to laugh, but it's not funny because this stuff is twisting people right into the pit of hell. It says, 1 Corinthians, this is on page 72 of his book, they were washed and saved from all those things, and yet they are still doing them. Now, how in the world does he get that out of that scripture?
So he's saying that's what the scripture is saying, that they're still Christians, they're still saved, but they're just doing those things.
Yeah, they were washed and saved from all those things, and yet they're still doing them.
And he's now, okay with that?
Yeah, and I'm going to show you even more how devilishly they get that. He goes on to say some outlandish things. He says it does not mean that if he commits such a such a sin and persists in it without confessing and receiving cleansing, he will lose his right to rule with Christ. And he says the parallel passages in Galatians 5, which we just read, and Ephesians 5, 5 and 6, are to be interpreted in the same way. In both passages, we see the notion of merit and obedience connected with the inheritance. That inheriting the kingdom is conditioned on obedience and service to the king, a condition far removed from the New Testament teaching of justification by faith alone for entrance into heaven. In other words, you can be saved and not inherit the kingdom of God. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, now, yeah, it's just time to go, blah, 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 twist, twist, twist. Yeah, this is what he says on page 73. That inheriting the kingdom of God is conditioned on obedience and service to the king, a condition far removed from the New Testament teaching of justification by faith alone for entrance into heaven. So you can go into heaven without going into the kingdom. Because you see, now the kingdom of God, it's an earthly millennial reign of the Jewish people. So, I mean, if you're not confused, you're just not paying attention. So we can go to heaven, but we can enter the kingdom without inheriting the kingdom. It's just total Luciferian word salad is what it is. It's That's Luciferian crazy. Word salad. Now, here's what they do here. And they can say, we can prove it to you.
I'm still a little dizzy on that one.
I am. That's disturbing, isn't it? Now, I'm going to read the scripture again in 1 Corinthians 6, then I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version. And I want everyone to see the satanic twist. Now, I don't care if people don't know a thing about Bible manuscripts, and I understand the average person doesn't, or about Bible translation, the history of the Bible. I don't care if you don't know anything about any of it. People can discern the absolute trail of the serpent in that which it is. Now I'm going to pull these up here side by side and let's read it again. And let's note the satanic twist that the evil one puts on the scripture. Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be ye not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, here's English Standard Version, 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were washed. Now, in the King James, but you are washed right now. English Standard Version, ESV, NIV, but you were washed. You see, you were washed at the same point in time, but you're still a Christian homosexual. Exactly what Jody Dillo taught. They were cleansed from these things, yet they're still doing them. One subtle change of the tense of the verb there, you know, well, we are washed. No, they were washed, but they're still doing it. This is nothing but satanic twisting of the scripture to the destruction of people. This is evil. And I think that anyone that prays about it, if you don't know anything about manuscripts or anything, this is 100% satanic, and it's sending people to hell.
Sometimes these small words are just looked over.
Yeah.
You know?
Such subtle. The serpent is subtle. What a subtle little change.
You are is present and were is past, right?
Yeah. 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 In the King James, these people that used to be these things, they're washed right now. They're washed. They're changed. Well, these people here in the ESV and NIV, well, they were washed at a point in time, but they're still doing these things like Jody Dillo in The Reign of the Servant Kings, you say.
Well, he must have read one of those Bibles as his main Bible.
Yeah. And a lot of these people and the people that are translating these Bibles are, I mean, the dispensationalists rule the theological roost in Bible schools. That's why these Bibles are so corrupt. And we've given a lot of examples of it over and over and over. And it is just absolutely horrible. It's demonic. Mm-hmm. It's twisting of the Word of God unto their own destruction.
It's sad because, you know, we did one episode a season or two ago called The Road to Hell is Paved with Good Intentions. You know, there's a lot of people who think they're doing well and they mean to be doing well, and they're deceived and they don't dig hard enough to find the truth. And it's just sad. That's just sad.
It is sad. Let's look at another very important part, the very important doctrine of justification by faith. And we did an entire DLC on that not long ago. Let's look at Luke 18, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And this is what Jesus taught on justification by faith. The person that would humble themselves and humble repentance, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Before you can, you don't do anything but just repent in humility and turn to God. That person's justified. That's what justification by faith is. And people that are really justified and have the Holy Spirit in them, you're going to want to obey God instead of disobey God. Now let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 2. And this is exactly what Paul taught in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2, and let's look at the 16th verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You know, you don't have to keep the law for 6 months to be saved. You get saved by saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And you can't be justified by trying to obey the law and be good.
Right.
You're justified by saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, calling out on the name of the Lord in humility and repentance. That's what saves us and justifies us. And that's exactly what Christ taught, exactly the same thing. And are those that cry in the church today say, well, Paul said that once you're justified, that you don't have to worry about being obedient to God, obeying God, or keeping God's law. Is that what Paul said? Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Well, look at that.
Wait a minute now.
Now, isn't that something?
That's something right there.
How do people get this? And they get it by absolute brainwashing.
David, I saw a video the other day, because I like to just go around and try to just see what's kind of being said out there without watching too much of it, just so I can just be aware. And there's this couple, they do a series where they like to take people's sermons and they kind of dissect them and show you where they're wrong and all this stuff. And sometimes they're right and they do a good job. But every so often, they did this little graphic that comes up, and when the wife, when there's something that she likes, and it really applies to Galatians, this little graphic pops up on the screen with this little piece of music, like we're looking at Charlie's Angels thing and the music, you know, and so it's called Galatians Girl, and it just shows her smiling. And I'm like, man, I know what she means when they put that graphic up there, you know?
I'm
Galatians
afraid.
Girl.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my.
So what I'm saying is they latch on to Galatians. And when, you know, I've read through Galatians a couple times this week, and it seems like chapters 3 and 4 are the ones that people really like to latch on to as far as, yeah, man, this is done away with. And there's just a lot of language in there that can be twisted. And they're probably not going back and reading Romans 2 and seeing what you just read, you know, 13.
We're going to get to 3 and 4 here real quick.
Okay.
But let's just have a let's have an instant replay here. Let's just read Romans 2:13, and let's compare that with Christ said. We'll just let everyone see, is Jesus and Paul saying the same thing? And I kind of think they are. Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, who gave us the law, that Jesus did not come to do away with. I mean, this is nothing but unbelievable scripture twisting that they do. And it just is mind-boggling that there are so many things that are so clearly stated that these people are getting away with perverting people. And it's doctrines of devils. It's scripture twisting big time. Let's ask another very important question. Is the gospel Paul preached the same that Christ preached? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, we see here in the book of Galatians that the gospel that was preached by Paul was agreed upon by Peter, James, and John as the same gospel they preached. In Galatians 2 and 9, it says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So under the examination of Peter and James and John, there was no problem. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, let's read verse 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, this sounds kind of like what Paul said on Mars Hill in Acts 17. We have Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, which is, of course, I like it all. But Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, and Paul said this, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Paul preached the same gospel of repentance that Christ preached. Peter, James, and John, they were on board with that. In Acts chapter 26, verse 19 and 20, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them in Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Now, that last little part's good. It's all good. There it is. That's Paul's gospel, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You know, I mean, that's what Paul taught. Paul didn't taught, well, once you're saved, it's a sin to obey God because you fall into legalism. No, you repent, you turn to God, and then you do your works meet for repentance. That's what Paul taught. Yeah. So, yeah, Paul and Jesus were saying the same thing. Paul and Jesus and the Puritans were saying the same thing. It's these knucklehead dispensationalists. You know, they're the ones that have put the old twister wrench to it and turned it into something absolutely contrary than was ever intended to be. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. We are called to have grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. My goodness, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Love fulfills the law. When we come to Christ, we will have faith that will shed abroad the love of God in our hearts, that will want us to obey God's law.
Well, and labor, that insinuates something, doesn't it?
That would almost imply works.
Yeah.
Just like it
works
says
of love.
Book of Acts, bring forth works, meet for repentance. Yeah. You'll actually want to do something. So maybe obeying God might not be a sin, according to the Word of God. Yeah, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, one of the most beautiful salvation text that just has just about everything in there essential. Romans chapter 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, we confess Jesus as Lord. That means we actually come to him willing to submit and obey.
And if we call Jesus Lord and Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? So all these just get tied to each other.
Oh, yeah. We read that already in Matthew 7:21. Yeah, I mean, this is so plain. People twist this truly to their own destruction. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now let's go to Galatians 3. And this is one of the texts they'll use anything to twist the words of Paul. Galatians chapter 3, and let's begin in verse 23. And here again, we'll put this 23rd verse with it to define what we're talking about. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should be afterwards be revealed. And that means, just like it says, that under the law means to live as if Christ had not come under that old system. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, this is such a beautiful and a clear comparison. There was the schoolmaster that was given to help raise the child, mm-hmm. and it would teach them in all areas, manners, education. And then there was a point in time where the schoolmaster would no longer teach the child and turn it over to the parents. And this is the exact picture that Christ is giving of the law, bringing someone to Christ and then turning them over to Christ.
So that they don't have to remember anything they've been taught prior.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, think about that. So if you do a schoolmaster raising a child until adulthood and say, okay, I've taught you everything, now go do what you want. You don't have to do any of this stuff anymore. You're an adult now.
Yeah. Little Johnny and little Susie, I had the schoolmaster teach you, but now everything they taught you is just a bunch of junk. Forget it all.
Yeah, I've never thought about it like that. That's so simple, David.
And this is what these people are saying. And wow. People brainwashed in, we're supposed to forget about everything about the law because we're not under the law. Well, we need to define under the law of the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's to live like Christ did not come. You see, this is just Mr. Twister. That's all that is. This is just Mr. Twister. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul said here, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. God forbid. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We establish it through love and by faith, a work of faith, a labor of love. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
That's pretty strong language. God very forbid.
Strong. Very strong.
We
yeah, God forbid.
Establish the law. There should be an exclamation point after that. I'm going to write that in.
There you go.
Exclamation point.
Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, another fabulous text out of the book of Galatians. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. Well, let's read verse 15 with it. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. We are the Israel of God, for goodness sake. We are the heirs, the true heirs of the Abrahamic covenant. We are the seed fulfilled in Christ. Therefore, those, the law and the prophets and the promises, they are ours. We are the Israel of God, and we're the only Israel of God there is. Those are our promises. Those are our laws. We are blessed because we choose from a heart of love to follow after Christ. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, Paul said this, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And this is read as saying, for Christ is the end of the law. It doesn't say
that. They stop after that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And over, Paul teaches that there is no righteousness or salvation through keeping the law. It's through justification by faith and faith alone. And then, because we love God, we want to obey and fulfill his law. Very simple for those that do love him to figure out. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 10. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, and it says here in 10:11, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
This is a main twisted scripture right here. I can't wait to hear you break this one down.
It's one of their favorites.
Yeah.
And what Paul is saying here again, he's teaching in right there in verse 11, that no man is justified by the law. The just live by faith. We live by faith, and we bring forth a work of faith and a labor of love. And if you're trying to be justified by the law, you have to keep it perfectly to be justified, and nobody can do that. That's why there is no justification by the law. So he's not saying that you're cursed if you try to obey God, but you're cursed if you try to be justified by keeping the law. It is just amazing. And Paul spells this out over and over throughout the epistle to the Galatians. And over and over.
Well, he was trying to remind them, right? Because weren't they all former Jews?
Well, no. No, what? They weren't all former Jews, Jimmy. We're going to get to that, too, in just a minute.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, we're going to. I tell you what, I got a commentary here. It's just like with Brother Poole. I just have to applaud. I say this all the time. It's so plain, but yet people don't get it because they're brainwashed, you know, with this stuff. Mm. But and Paul shows the proper use of the law. It's not that, well, I'm going to obey the law perfect for 10 days and then maybe I'll be saved. If I can keep the law perfect for 10 days, and Paul would say, cursed is everyone that doesn't do it perfect, in so many words. Because God's standard is absolute perfection.
Yeah.
And that's another DLC that we've done. Now, in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Here's that phrase again. God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Just like you commented on Galatians, those are all in the Torah. Yeah. Well, when we preach the word of God and God's law, people will see, well, I can't keep God's law, let alone keep it perfectly. Therefore, I better do something. I better go to Christ and let his blood cover my sins, and then let love fulfill the law and make me acceptable in his sight, you see. That's what the law's for. Not to justify us, but to show people that they can't keep it. Cursed are you if you try to justify yourself by law, because you can't do it, you see. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul said the very same thing there. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody can be righteous before God on the basis of works. Nobody. It's an absolute impossibility. Therefore, we are driven unto the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross for us, and by that we are born again. Now let's look at another passage here. Let's go to Galatians 4 here just for a little bit. Galatians chapter 4, and as you say, well, this is another one of their bastions of attack. Galatians chapter 4, and let's read this text, verses 8 through 10. And always when I teach this, I say, look over at your neighbor and tell your neighbor the Galatians weren't Jews. You know, they weren't Hebrews. How be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Now, all
right,
I want to read
you could stop right there. I mean, that just says you didn't know God, so you obviously weren't raised in Judaism, and you did service to them that are not God. Basically, they're no gods.
Yeah. I want to read from the Word Biblical Commentary by Richard Longnecker.
Longnecker.
Yeah, I think I said that right. Longnecker. 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 Anyway, I'll call him Richard Longnecker. And anyway, it's in the Word Biblical Commentary series, which is a high scholastic commentary, for whatever that means anymore. But I just got to applaud here. You know, so many people get this wrong because they're brainwashed with the scripture over Christian TV all the time and radio. But he says this here in verse 8, which we just had to read and stop. Here in verse 8, appear with respect to the Gentiles. Before coming to Christ, Gentiles offered worship to those who by nature are not gods. You know, we'll just give him a hand for that. You know, yeah, it's just that simple. And over here, he says this too, on page 225 of his commentary. He said, in Paul's words, they had been under the elemental spirits, the stoichion, the basic principles of the world, which for them meant paganism. You know, It's not hard to figure out. So I just have to applaud. This is so clear. And most people miss the obvious just because they're brainwashed. They're brainwashed that, oh, my goodness, it's wrong to try to obey God or try to obey God's times. And, it's just amazing. But here in Galatians 4, let's pick the rest of the text up. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, which he correctly said, this is paganism, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. There were a perversion of the worship of those pagan holidays. And no doubt.
And as if Paul would be calling the law weak and beggarly.
Yeah, I mean.
And the feast of Yah, weak and beggarly.
Yeah.
That's not that is, what he was talking about.
No, absolutely not. Mm. And we'll probably just close with this in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20, we talked about Stoicheion in our DLCs about casting out devils. And here in Colossians 2 and 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, that rudiment is the same word, stoicheion. Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to its ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Over and over, they will take this passage to say that it's wrong to obey the commandments of God, when clearly it's talking about the ordinance of the world and doctrines and the commandments of men. Plain as day, it says.
Colossians were obviously Gentiles too. That's Paul said he was sent to the Gentiles.
Yeah, absolutely.
They weren't Jewish. They didn't know God. They were pagans, every one of these.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Corinthians were too, right? And the
there were a few Jews that might have come into the congregation. It's not like the Jews weren't welcome. There was like one body, but these were Gentile assemblies that were started by Paul.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think that this is a fitting way to close out season 4 with a overview of what Paul said to show just it's not just wrong, it's spiritually deadly to twist the Apostle Paul in such a way to say that he was just opposed to obedience to God and God's law. Nothing could be a bigger lie. I mean, it's right here in the Word of God. All we got to do is read it. And when we see, by helping to point out a few of these places where they're just obviously lying, they're twisting. And if you can't get what you want out of the Bible, change the Bible. And that's what they do. So our prayer is a simple one, that people come back to Jesus Christ with all their heart, obey him, follow him, lift him up, come back to the real Word of God, come back to the real Jesus and serve him. That's what all of this Doctrine of Christ series is all about. All 4 seasons up to this, our 80th episode, it's to lift him up. And that's what season 5 will be about also. It's all about him. With